السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. سورة الفاتحة. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبو القاسم محمد. وعلى آله طيبين طاهرين المعصومين، أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، تتجافى جنوبهم عن المضاجع يدعون ربهم خوفا وطمعا. صلوات. Inshallah, before I proceed with tonight's lecture, inshallah, we recite a Surat al-Fatiha for all of the shuhada as a result of all of the horrible events that have been happening in the last few days overseas. This day, early in the dawn of the 19th of Shahr Ramadan, was when Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam was struck with a poison sword. And as I pondered over what I would speak about tonight, whether I would give you some knowledge that would be beneficial to your iman and getting closer to Allah, or whether I would go into the history of Imam Ali, I thought about Imam Ali himself, alayhi salatu wasalam. While being wounded with the poison sword, his head bandaged, with agony and pain, he was asking and encouraging the people, ask me while I'm here. Even on the pangs of death and close to death, he was still concerned with teaching the ummah their religion. So I chose to, in honoring of our beloved Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, refrain from giving you a history lesson, which you all know, and proceed in doing what he would have done in health and even in harm's way of trying to enlighten the ummah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So tonight, in commemoration of this tragic event, for the first time for me personally, I'm speaking about probably the most important topic that should be discussed from the minbar or from the pulpit, which is the state in which all of the mu'min and mu'minat, all of the mu'mineen and mu'minat should be in, and that is within the state of perfectly in between khawf, fear, and raja, hope. All of the ulama, most of the ulama in their books tell all of who are going to be preaching and leading the people and guiding the people to encourage the people to be in that middle state between fear and hope. Fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath and punishment, and also hope of His mercy and forgiveness. This is the line which we should traverse. This is the Sirat al-Mustaqim, that line in between these two. So therefore, I recited the ayat of Quran, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has says, تَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِئِ يَدَعُنَّ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفَ وَطَمَأَ. And their sides forsake their beds, calling their Lord, fearing and hoping. Fearing and hoping. And many times we read the dua in Mafatih al-Jinan or the other books of dua, Allahumma anta raja, O Allah, you are my hope. You know, and it's important that as mu'mineen and mu'minat, we should only have hope in Allah. We should have more hope with Allah than what we, you know, see that is near us in actuality. Nonetheless, it's important because many of us will say, you know, why aren't you offering prayers? Oh, I hope in Allah's mercy. Why aren't you wearing hijab? I hope in Allah's mercy. You know, this is the common answer. Oh, I hope in Allah's mercy. Allah is forgiving. Allah is merciful. Okay, Allah is also the most severe in the punishment as well. You know, Allah did send the flood. Allah did send the storms and the locusts and all of the other punishments. So Allah is also merciful, but He's also quick in reckoning. So we cannot take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lightly. We must fear Him as He should be feared. Nonetheless, let's begin with the first aspect of this concept of fear and hope. What exactly is hope? You know, what is hope? What is real hope? Not wishing, not wishful thinking. What is true hope? Hope is when your heart becomes comfortable with the anticipation of something coming that you think is pleasant. It's the feeling that your heart has anticipating something that is pleasant or that you like. This is hope. And an example of hope can be best exemplified in a farmer who plants his seeds in fertile soil. He irrigates the soil, waters the soil, and then and only then he hopes for Allah's grace and mercy to keep these seeds from destruction and so they can grow to beautiful plants. This is hope. The farmer has fulfilled his obligation. He has fulfilled the prerequisites. He has fulfilled the preliminaries. Then what he is feeling is hope. This is not hope. You just take some seeds, throw it in some concrete, you know, and wonder or wish or hope, I wonder if Allah will make that grow or will not make it grow. This is wishful thinking. This is not hope. Hope is when we do our part, when we do our preliminaries that make us eligible for hope. Salawat if you understand. So a person who has some seeds and just scatters them on the ground, you know, the ground is not fertile, there's no irrigation, and just says, I wonder if Allah will grow it or not grow it. This is wishful thinking. This is worthless. Hope is the farmer who says, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to find some fertile soil. I'm going to till the soil. I'm going to put my seeds in. I'm going to water my seeds. And then I'm going to sit back and then hope for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's grace and kindness. This is hope. This is true hope. And hoping is something that we must do. Because understand this, if you've understood the analogy of the farmer planting the seeds in the fertile soil and then watering the soil and weeding the area for everything that may cause destruction, and then hoping for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's grace and mercy, understand this. Your heart is the soil. Iman is the seeds. Our good deeds is the tilling the soil, the watering the soil, the plowing the soil. And then we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lets us become fruitful in our relationship with Him and keeps us from destruction and anything that will cause us harm in the hereafter. Then we're eligible for hoping after we've done our part. After we've done our part. Not, I don't pray, but I'm hoping in Allah's mercy. You haven't done anything. You're wishful thinking. You know, I disobey Allah all the time. And don't, there's, understand this, my brothers and sisters. There's a difference between making a mistake every now and then, meaning sin and error, and premeditated sin. You wake up knowing what sins you're going to do throughout that day. That's different than making a mistake along the way, whether your desire spurred a moment made you sin, whether anger spurred a moment made you sin. This is different from, what can I do sinful today? There's a difference there. You know, there's Allah mentions in the Quran that those who are encompassed in their sin, their abode is the fire eternally. This is different for those who sin, do tawbah, and their intention, whether they sin again or not, their intention truthfully is to never do it again. These are individuals who are truly hopeful. They are offering their prayers. When they do sin, they make tawbah. Not just istighfar. Tawbah, many are unaware of what tawbah is. It's more than just istighfar. There's a whole long hadith where Imam Ali, alayhi salatu wasalam, ripped someone in half for saying istighfar, not knowing what it meant. You know, tawbah is, let me just give you an example. This just came to mind. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. This is the month we should be doing tawbah. There are many different types, whether it's two rakats or four, but it's Suratul Fatiha, Suratul Ikhlas three times, Suratul Falaq and Suratul Nas in both rakats. Then do istighfar 70 times. You can do it two rakats, it's better if you do four, with the intention of tawbah. Not just you do sins and istighfar, that means nothing. Just like nowadays people say, wallah, you know, I swear by Allah, it means nothing. You know, astaghfirullah means nothing nowadays, except to a chosen few. So to do tawbah, remember Suratul Fatiha, Suratul Ikhlas three times, Suratul Falaq and Suratul Nas in both rakats, and then do istighfar and repent your sins afterwards. This is tawbah. Nonetheless, when people put forth their effort, they do the wajibat. When they sin, they do tawbah. These are people who are truly hoping for Allah's mercy, because they're fulfilling their obligation. Allah is overlooking their slips and their blunders because He sees that they are working towards Him. There are many riwayat that mention that if you are coming towards Allah sincerely, then He'll come towards you. But there's a difference if you're not making that effort and then you're hoping for Allah's mercy. There's a difference. This is wishful thinking. Just remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is most forgiving, most merciful, did send the flood. Did destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Allah did destroy the people of Ad and Thamud. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'll use a term that many of our youngsters can relate to, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is no joke. Nothing to be played with. So we have to understand what hope really is. You know, hope is when we do our part. We fulfill our obligation to all that we can possibly do. Then we're hoping that it's beneficial. Then we're hoping that it's sincere. Then we're hoping that it's accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is hope. Many people don't understand what hope truly is. As I mentioned, and I repeat one more time, just like the Quran repeats over and over when it's an important aspect, that a farmer who plants his seed in the most fertile soil and tills the soil, waters the soil, irrigates the soil, he does all that he can possibly do. And then when he cannot do anything more, then he hopes for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do the rest, to grow it and to keep it from destruction. This is hope. The farmer who, or the person who claims to be a farmer, who just has some seeds, you know, throws them over his shoulder, and then, you know, hopes that Allah will grow it, you know, and he threw them on concrete. This is wishful thinking. This is useless. This is what many of us do. And that analogy, as I related to you, I'm repeating it because there's a lot of youngsters coming in. Our heart is the soil. Faith, iman, is the seeds. Our good deeds is the irrigation. Our good deeds is the plowing. Our good deeds is the tilling of the soil. And what does a farmer do when he plants crops? What he weeds. Many of us have gardens. What do? You go out and weed, because weed will do harm to the plant. So we also try to weed our souls from anything that will do harm to our souls. That's why there's an analogy in Nahjul Balagha where Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam said, this dunya is the farm of the mu'mineen and mu'minat. We plant seeds of righteousness in hopes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it and will be have a successful end in the hereafter. This is our farm. Now inside, obviously don't answer this, but what have we been planting? Which type of seeds? In what type of soil? Fertile soil or a salt marsh? For those who don't know what a salt marsh is, nothing's growing in there. No matter how much you water it, no matter how top of the line your seeds are, it's not growing. So we must ponder over this and understand what hope really is. Now, obviously, we have to be in the perfect middle of between hope and fear. And as I mentioned, just to give you an ayat of Quran to prove what I've just said, because it's important that this is the month of Quran, that we have proof from the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَاجِرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يَرْجُونَ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ. Verily those who believe, and those who migrate, and those who strive in the way of Allah, these are hopeful of Allah's mercy. When you do works in the cause of Allah, you fulfill your obligation in the cause of Allah, then you are truly expressing your hope of Allah's mercy. Not just, why did you make Fajr? Well, I was thinking about Allah in my bed, hoping for His mercy. This is not hope. This is wishful thinking. This is wishful thinking. And in this month, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, we have given evidence against ourselves, because we have proven once again that for a certain number of days, we can be mindful of Allah. We can be obedient to Allah. We can make it to the center every day. Why does it have to stop? We have proven that we can do this. This is showing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we're hopeful. Now, obviously, if we do it for 30 days, as opposed to doing it the whole year, those who do it the whole year are really hopeful. Those who do it for just a few days, inshallah. But anyway, that's the first aspect of the concept of being within the perfect balance of fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment and having hope for His mercy. We have established what hope is. Everyone here understands what hope is, what real hope is, as opposed to wishful thinking. That hope is accompanied or eligible once we have done our parts. Now, fear is... Now, let me pause for a minute, because I just saw a note that I forgot. How can we cultivate hope? If we don't have hope, then we have to find a way to cultivate hope. You know, so that's a good question, right? How can we cultivate this hope? How can we have true hope in Allah? And this can be done by remembering first and foremost all of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's grace that He's bestowed upon you without any mediator coming between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you. That instance where you were in dire straits or you were in need of something and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped you directly without anybody else, remember those instances. This will help you to cultivate hope. Also, a way to cultivate hope is that you remember all of the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you when you yourself know you were not deserving of it. Think of those moments and it will help you cultivate hope. This will help you cultivate hope. Say, man, mashallah, I know I don't deserve this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still granted me it. Thinking over these, and trust me, whether we're sinful or righteous, there's so many instances where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers our supplication and we know we're more deserving to have it denied. He's fulfilled our request and we know we're more deserving to have it overlooked, and He still grants it for us. When we ponder over these instances, this will help us cultivate Raja, hope. When we truly mean in our dua, Allahumma anta Raja, O Allah, you are my hope. This will help us cultivate hope. Also, thinking about all of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you in this life and that you can look forward to in the next life. This will help you cultivate hope. Also, this is a huge thing that will help you cultivate hope. When we ourselves know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He was to destroy us right now, we'd be deserving of it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, time in and time out, gives us time in and time again, gives us another breath to do tawbah, and still increases us in knowledge. Still gives us the tawfiq to see the next Ramadan. Still gives us the tawfiq to make the next prayer. Still gives us the tawfiq to make it to the next majlis. This is all gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no success without tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is tawfiq? When He gives us success in doing something. We can have an intention but not be able to carry out unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us to carry this out. Pondering over these many and numerous instances will help us to cultivate Raja, hope. Now let's look at the other end of the spectrum that we must balance with this hope, which is hauf, fear. Now, understand this. Fear is in relation to the perceived thing that will cause you harm. For example, if a group of you and I will go to Brooklyn, New York, and we hear gunfire, you would be more scared than me. Because the gunfire is nothing to me. I don't perceive it as something that will make me shiver. But to some, it will make you shiver. So the perception of the danger is the relationship of the fear. Understand that your fear is in relation to what you perceive as dangerous to you. For example, I ride mountain bikes and travel crazy rough trails. I took some kids with me out there. They're like, wow, this is dangerous. To them, it was dangerous. To me, it wasn't. So our perception was in relation to how we perceived it. So if you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will crush you and it causes you to get pale when you do wudu and it causes you to shiver and be scared to say labaik, Allahumma labaik, like Imam Sadiq when they make the Hajj, he's scared to say labaik because he's scared to death that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't accept him. And he's Imam, he's masoom. He fears Allah as he should be feared. Allah who will crush you. Allah who can send a lightning bolt, zap, and you're done. Allah who will send a hurricane, pow, and you're done. Wipe thousands out. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No guns, storms. Forget the nuclear bomb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send lightning and thunder. Forget your planes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send a hurricane. And we fear people more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to have a better perception of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then that will help us fear him as he should be feared. In many cases, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can say, offer prayers and wear hijab, and we don't fear him. Some human can say, do it, and it will be done. This is backwards. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his book can say, do this, and do this. And people will be negligent of it. Some famous guy can say, I want you to do this, and then they'll do it. So they're showing more awe and fear of this weakling, because all of us are weaklings, than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gave the command in the first place. This is proof of lack of fear. Now, what are signs of fear? Crying. Why do you think all of the a'immah, when they would do wudu, they would be compelled. They're scared to death. They fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the sign of fear. Just think, there are some things, obviously in life, we shouldn't fear anything but Allah. But sometimes coming up or increasing in faith or when we have weak faith, many things will cause us to be scared. A cop gets behind you and you're driving. All of a sudden, your heart starts pumping. Palm gets nervous. You have a license. Car's registered, but you still start shaking in your boots. That fear, you should be putting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or when you have a speeding ticket, no big deal, but you have to go to court to pay it. And just the notion of going in front of a judge has your palm sweaty. Now you got to go to the restroom. You know, that fear should be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to any of his creation. This is fear. These are signs of fear. Now, if we don't have that towards Allah, then obviously we're lacking in the fear department. So we need to improve on that. And how do we do that? By establishing more knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about the storms. Think about how he's crushed whole tribes and nations in the past. Think about how he does it today. You think that masoom, that tidal wave that destroyed the people, weren't sent by Allah? You think that hurricane that destroyed this or that place wasn't sent by Allah? To remind you of his might and power, say, hey, you forgot who I am? I'm the Lord of majesty and honor, and you've forgotten me? You fear my creation over me? Allah says, he who fears my creation over me, I will make him fear everything. But those who fear me as they should, I will make everything fear them. Why do you think Da'ima, they weren't even thinking about revolting. They weren't even thinking about the Khulafa. But they were scared to death that the Imams were going to revolt. They were shaking in their boots that their kingdom would be toppled. Because the Imams feared Allah, and Allah made everything on creation fear the Imams. This is what happens. fear of Allah. And we have to have that balance, that perfect balance of fear and hope. That we're fearful of Allah's wrath and punishment, yet we're hopeful of His mercy and kindness. Now understand that fear and hope in the improper context can cause destruction. If you have too much fear of Allah, then you have despair. So many people think, oh man, I did so much haram, forget it, I'm just not going to practice Islam. This is a bigger sin than the sin that they've been committing, despairing of Allah's mercy, thinking that Allah would not forgive, because their fear has taken them into loss. I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forgive me. This is the wrong type of fear. And I've heard people say it, and I've understood the concept, which is wrong, that so many people think, man, I've done so much haram, forget it, I'm not even going to try to be religious. No. Despairing of Allah's mercy is worse than any of the sins you could have committed prior. So that is when fear is to an extreme, it becomes loss. Also hope, when you hope for Allah's mercy, which this is what most of us fall into this category. We hope for Allah's mercy so much, we become secure of His plans. Allah's not going to punish me for not wearing hijab. He's merciful. Allah's not going to punish me if I don't offer prayers. He's merciful. Now we've become secure. Now we're in harm's way. That's the extreme of fear and the extreme of hope. Extreme hope takes you into false sense of security, and extreme fear takes you into despair. So you have to have that perfect balance. Sirat al-Mustaqim is that perfect balance of fear and hope. And inshallah, I'll read you and understand, first of all, that fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should start causing our body parts to begin to decrease the number of haram acts. You may not erase all of them right away, but the number should be gradually getting lower and lower and lower due to this fear. And as far as our character, it should also make us be mindful of how we speak, because mashallah, Allah can hear me. What I do, mashallah, Allah can see me. What I'm thinking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what I'm thinking. And many times what we're thinking is worse than what we say or do. So it's important that we let this fear reflect or be manifest through our actions. Understand this. Fear, and listen carefully. If you don't remember anything in these next few minutes, the one who is fearful is not the one who cries or weeps, the eyes. The one who's fearful stops sinning. That's the fearful one, because he knows he's going to be punished for it. He fears the punishment. Crying and I feel, that's not fear. The one who says, I'm not doing that anymore. When you have that correct concept of fear and hope, sins that were pleasurable to you before are now hateful to you. Just like a person who hates honey when he found out that it'll cause harm to his body. Some people are allergic to something. So honey, which is sweet, pure, and good, that he loved, once he found out it was harmful to him, now he hates it because he knows it will harm him. We should have this concept towards haram acts. You know, even at one time when we enjoyed these different haram acts, as we cultivate fear and we cultivate hope, these same acts that we once enjoyed now become disgusting to us. Men who once lusted for women who were scantily clad are saying, "Astaghfirullah, why doesn't he just go and put some clothes on?" When at one time he enjoyed that. Or women, he enjoyed women who didn't wear hijab because he liked seeing the hair. Now he just, astaghfirullah, I wish she would go and cover herself. Or before he was hanging around guys that didn't offer prayers and he was hanging with them and missed prayers too. Now he's like, mashallah, I can't hang with you because you're not, you're taking your religion for vain sport and play. When you cultivate this fear and hope properly, the deeds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes, that you yourself enjoyed or you found okay, will become despicable and heinous to you as a result of this cultivating this fear and this hope and balancing it. Inshallah, mind you, if Allah gives us the tawfiq to understand this. Now, which is better, fear or hope? Which is better, fear or hope? Hope. So why hope? Because hope is the closest to Allah are those who love Allah. And hope cultivates love. That's why hope is superior to fear. Because when you hope in something, That hope helps cultivate love. When you hope and Allah fulfills, this establishes a bond of love. Fear establishes respect and awe. Hope establishes love. So hope is superior than fear. Now, here are a few hadiths concerning fear and hope. Here's one from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The Holy Prophet once asked to see a man who was undergoing the pangs of death and asked him, "How do you find yourself right now?" He replied, "I find myself fearful on account of my sins, yet hopeful of the mercy of my Lord." The Prophet said, "No sooner do these two come together in the heart of a servant in this kind of situation than Allah grants him what he hopes for and protects him from what he is fearful of." When this feeling of hope and fear is manifest and it's sincere, Allah will grant you what you're hopeful of and save you and protect you of what you're fearful of. Fear and hope. Also, you know, as I mentioned, we have to balance this fear. And hopelessness, we've heard that term before, "I'm hopeless," you know. Hopelessness is faithlessness. Having no hope is despairing of Allah's mercy, and this is showing lack of faith. So hopelessness is definitely not a good thing to even iterate off your tongue or feel in your heart. You should never be hopeful. A mu'min and a mu'minat should never feel hopeless when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is their Lord, cherisher, and sustainer of the worlds. Now, Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam said to one of his sons, and understand this because this is a greater explanation than I can even give, attempt to give, where Imam Ali said to one of his sons, "My son, fear Allah in such a way that even if you were to come to him with the good deeds of all the people in the earth, he would not accept them from you." He said, fear Allah in such a way that even if you came with all of these good amal, have a fear that Allah will not accept them. And have a hope of Allah that if you came to Allah with all the sins of all of the earth, that Allah will forgive you for them. This is balancing that hope. So you never, you know, many of us, trust me, which is a trick of Shaitan, man, I do night prayers all the time. Every now and then I fall asleep, but I do night prayers all the time. There's no guarantee Allah's going to accept that. You might have did exercises all night. We're hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts these amal. Man, I fast Ramadan, Shaban, and Rajab all 90 days. We're too confident in our amal. There's no guarantee Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts that. So we cannot become confident or arrogant or conceited because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the tawfiq to do these amal and then assume that we're going to make it to Jannat on account of them. Our amal does not get us into Jannat, mind you. Allah's mercy is the only thing that will get us into Jannat. If you don't understand anything else, you better understand that. Your amal do not get you into Jannat. Allah's mercy will get you into Jannat. So, you know, that's what the imam was meaning, that you fear Allah, you have such an awe of Allah, you have such respect of Allah, you understand the concept of Allah's might and power, that even if you do so much amal, even if you have a prostration mark like a camel's knee, even if your eyes are stunk in and your back is bent from fasting all the time, you are not confident of your amal, you are only hopeful that Allah accepts and shows mercy upon you. And even if you're a wicked sinner, and every time you do a sin, you're doing tawbah. Sin tawbah. Still doing wajibat, knowing that as long as you are putting forth this effort sincerely, that you're hopeful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you for your efforts. Some people in school can only get a 65, and that's as high as they can go, and the teacher knows he's doing his best. Some people get a 65, the teacher says, "You're playing, I'm failing you." We know those type. There are some kids, man, like in school, people cut class, come on test day, score the highest. cut class all week, come take the exam and get the highest every time. You know, so intellectually and as far as knowledge is concerned, there's no reason for them to get 65s. Then there are those who are constantly struggling, having difficulties at maybe this or that subject, get a 64, and out of the mercy of the teacher, 67. This is like that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understand this. And this is a good concept, mind you. Allah's mercy does not come to the strong of us. Because he keeps giving us harder and harder tests to make us stronger. If a person is getting A's in school, the teacher's not going to say, out of my mercy and kindness, I'm going to give them an A+. They didn't earn that. They already are on a high level, so the tests keep getting harder and harder to push them. So they don't need mercy from the teacher. Those who are failing and are sincerely trying, putting forth every effort, they are the ones deserving of the mercy. I'll pass this student. I know he's trying his best. This concept applies to Allah. Allah's mercy is on the weak of us, not the strong of us. As long as Allah knows that we are like that student, even though we may get a 65, even though we may get a 67, spiritually, mind you, even though we may be struggling, fluctuating in our iman, Allah knows that these guys, these ladies, these gentlemen are trying their sincere best. They are truly hopeful and they are truly fearful. And Allah knows the heart. So this is important that we understand this. And Imam Bakr, alayhi salatu wasalam, had mentioned, no believer should be devoid of two rays in his heart. Listen to the concept of what the Imam is saying. He said, no believer, this is an emphasis, no believer should be without two rays in his heart. A ray of fear and a ray of hope, such that if either one of them was weighed against the other, they would be balanced. One wouldn't be more heavier than the other. Fear and hope. Trust me, I've seen it and you've seen it. You know, we don't do anything and then we say, I'm hoping in Allah's mercy. This is not hope. We do every sin under the sun, have no conscience whatsoever, and say, yeah, I fear Allah. This is not fear. And then, mind you, these individuals are the loudest criers on certain nights in the center. Thinking that the water is the purification from the sins. No. Amending your conduct is the purification of the sins. Doing tawbah is the purification of the sins. When we do tawbah, and it's sincere, we're clean slate. Start fresh. So we have to have a correct understanding of true fear and true hope and balance them. And this is most important in this month of Ramadan. Because we should be fearful of Allah taking us to account of what we've done the past year. At the same time, we're hopeful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bestow upon us a good future in the next year. We're fearing the past and we're hopeful for the future, and this should be balanced. As I mentioned last night, we should be regretting and also manifesting hope. So this is very important, a very important concept that we must understand and apply. You know, it's important that we realize that Islam was never founded upon lip service. Islam is about amal. Islam is about proof. Bring your proof if you're truthful. Allah says, if you love me, prove it. Allah says, if you fear me, prove it. Allah says, if you want to get closer to me, prove it. Allah says, if you want to flee from the hellfire, prove it. Imam Sadiq, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, it was mentioned to Imam, someone came to Imam and said, Imam, there are some people who claim to be your associates, but they can commit sins regularly and then say we're hopeful of Allah's mercy. He said they're liars. He said they're liars and they're not our associates. They're not our Shia. Because a person who fears something will most certainly flee from it. And a person who's hopeful of something will most certainly work for it. It's not more clearer than that. The sign of fearing something is fleeing from it, being scared of it, having it make you weep. For example, if my stepson does something wrong and I give him a look here, he'll be crying in the car. He fears the possibility of a punishment or some toys getting taken away. He's manifesting it, and fathers have seen that. Our child may have done something wrong in the mall, and you know, you say, when you get home, you're in trouble. And the whole ride home, they're crying, pleading, and begging. They're manifesting fear. Their fear is evident because they are fearful of what may come. They're manifesting this fear. But do we manifest that when we do sins and crimes against Allah? Are we fearful of what may come on the day of judgment? Nah. Likewise, when you say to your child, well, if you behave yourself, then inshallah, I'll get you this thing you want. They know as long as they put forth some effort to behave, they're hopeful that they'll get rewarded. And they act in a proper manner, even for a few hours only, or even until they get the reward. But do we manifest this when we hope in the Jannah, but do we mold our conduct in a proper manner, even for, you know, just a few years, 60, 65 years, no time at all, or 83 years? Think about this. So please understand that we must manifest fear and hope. We must understand properly fear and hope. And let this come out in our amal. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings and tawfiq to be on the right path, for the wisdom to understand His guidance, to hasten the reappearance of our imam. We ask upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure all the ill ones. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to free all the captives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make needless all of the needy. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all those who repent sincerely. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide those who are misguided. For there is neither might nor power except for Allah, and Allah is able to do all things. Verily, all praise are due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.